Our speaker for this next hour is Philip Van Winkle.
As we ended our study last time in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 17, John wrote and said, "All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death." And we talked about the sin that is not unto death is that sin that will be repented of and confessed. We need to talk for just a moment about repentance. Repentance really involves the forsaking of sin. You know, one cannot just confess and say, "Hey, you know what, I'm a homosexual, please forgive me," and then just go on living his homosexual life. That's not repentance. A man is a thief. When he repents of his thievery, that means he must stop being a thief. If a man is a drunkard and he repents of being a drunkard, then he must then stop being a drunkard. A person who is living in adultery, he repents of that adultery, he must stop living in that situation. You cannot repent of a sin and then just keep on living that way. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law." When a person transgresses, that is, he sins. All unrighteousness, we're told in 1 John 5:17, all unrighteousness is sin. So to refuse to live in harmony with God's law is sin. And he says in verse 18, "We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not." Whosoever is born, there's the word begotten of God. And so we are his children. Now, does this verse mean that we don't ever sin? You mean once I become a child of God, I am sinlessly perfect? No, absolutely not. One lady stood up one time in a tent revival and she shouted out, "I'm as good as Jesus Christ and I'm getting better every day." Well, it's not going to be long then before she's better than Jesus Christ. But is that what this verse says? No, absolutely not. What does it mean? You remember when we were studying in 1 John chapter 3? Look over at verse 9. It says, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." There's the present tense verb again, that continuous action. It says, "For his seed remaineth in him." There's another continuous action. "And he cannot sin." There's that present tense. Because he's been born of God. That is, whosoever is born of God does not continually commit sin because his seed, the word of God, Luke 8:11, continues to remain in him. Therefore, he cannot continue to remain in sin. Well, what's the point? The point is this. John is saying, if a person is a Christian on one hand and he's living faithfully to God, he cannot, on the other hand, continually live in sin. The two don't go hand in hand. It's an impossibility for a child of God to continually live for Christ and to continually live for sin. It's just not possible. So back again in 1 John 5, verse 18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. There's that present tense again. He doesn't continue sinning. The child of God does not keep living in sin. He got out of the sinning business when he obeyed the gospel. He does not continually live a life filled with sin. That doesn't mean he won't mess up once in a while. That doesn't mean he won't sin sometimes. It just means the life that he had been living that was full of sin, he no longer lives that way. It says, "But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not." We need to notice, keep ourselves from sin. There are some of our brethren who have come up with this false idea of grace. They take the responsibility away from the Christian. They say, "Well, you just obey and grace will just cover you. If you'll just get baptized, grace will just cover you from that point on. You won't have to worry about trying to keep yourself clean. God's grace will just constantly cover you." But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, as he is writing to a group of Christians here, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it's good or bad." You see, I have to give an account for the way that I live. You, one day, will have to give an account for the way that you live. And this verse says that we are to keep ourselves. Someone says, well, now hold on. I thought God keeps us. Well, He does keep us. The question is, how does He keep us? The answer, through His Word. See, we do what He says. He keeps us because we've obeyed Him. You remember on the day of Pentecost over in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. But in Acts chapter 2, verse 40, he says something very interesting. With many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. You mean I can save myself by myself? No. That's not what we're saying at all. You are still, however, responsible to respond to the gospel call. You do what I told you, God says. If you will do what I have done, what I have said for you to do, it'll be the same as you saving yourself because you have placed yourself within the boundary of God's salvation. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself. James chapter 1 and verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and notice, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Jude, verse 21, says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So we are to keep ourselves. We have a responsibility to keep ourselves. How do we do it? Acts chapter 20, verse 32. This is how it's done. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to, notice, build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What is it that builds you up? It is the word of God. What is it that gives you an inheritance? It is the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Someone says, oh, but it says you're to be filled with the Spirit. Well, how do I keep myself by being filled with the Spirit? Well, the very parallel passage to this is found over in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Here's how I keep myself with the Spirit, or by the Spirit. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. I am filled with the Spirit when I let the Word of Christ dwell in me. When I do what His Word says, then I am keeping myself. Jesus said, and we talked about this in a previous show, if you love me, keep my commandments. How do you become a child of God? You do what He says. How do I stay in the love of God? By keeping His Word. By living in the Word of God. In verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. This says we can know. We can know that we are of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2 says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God. Verse 13 says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 15 says, we know that He hears us. So we as Christians can know certain things. And this verse says, we know that we are of God. We know it. We are of God because we have obeyed the gospel. How do we know that we are children of God? By some feeling? Oh, no, no. If a Mormon comes to visit you, he says, well, I believe this because of this feeling that I have. I had a discussion with a Pentecostal lady, and she said, I wouldn't trade this feeling I have for all the Bibles in the world. But our confidence is not based upon our feelings, but the Word of God. We know that we are of God. The whole world lieth in wickedness. God said that the world lies in wickedness, not me. If I can know who a child of God is, I can know who a child of God is not. And if a person is not a child of God, then he lies in wickedness. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding. How does God give understanding? He has given us His Word. He has given us revelation. He has allowed us to understand grace and love and mercy and salvation all through His Word. This is how we do it. After Jesus raised from the dead, He had told His disciples what was going to happen. He was going to die and raise on the third day. They were surprised when He actually did it. Mark chapter 16, it says, the women came to tell them of the resurrection, and they didn't believe it. In Luke chapter 24, verse 44, He said to them, these are the words which I speak unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened He their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. It says He opened their understanding. Now, if there was nothing else said about it, I would wonder how He opened their understanding. How was it that He opened their understanding? Verse 45, He opened their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and He said to them, thus it is written. He is teaching them a lesson from the Scriptures, and the way they are to understand it is by the Scriptures. Thus it is written, I had to die and raise again. This is how God gives understanding, by what the Bible says. You and I have God's Word. We can understand God's Word. You tell me one thing, just one thing, one truth in God's Word that I cannot learn from studying God's Word, that I have to have some direct operation of the Holy Spirit. There's not one thing. Because I can understand it, because God's given me a brain and He's given me His Word. And as we end, it says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that will stop you or hinder you from worshiping God, anything can be an idol. And so He says, anything that comes before God, anything that gets in the way of your worshiping God, keep yourself away from it.